Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Ball Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Got Paul Mack and Kevin Carter joining me tonight. Gentlemen, on this Tuesday evening, how are we doing today or tonight? Mr. Paul Mack, how you doing, sir?
Have the Giants scored yet?
Oh, God.
No?
Oh. No? No.
But I'm doing the same. I'm doing the same I was on Sunday night then.
Dallas's defense is again, though.
I'm here.
Oh, man. Mr. Carter, how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Me and Paul got something in common. We got a common acquaintance. You want to know his name, Kev?
It's called the letter L.
No, it's called Owen 1.
Yeah, and the letter L.
Apparently, his first name is Owen, and then his last name is Warren.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the letter L.
Oh. Hey. Thanks for the reminder, Kev.
At least both my Achilles are still attached.
Exactly. At least this podcast will go longer than Aaron Rodgers' Jets career.
Oh. Hey.
In all serious, sucks for Aaron Rodgers. I was just tired of hearing about him, but for real, watching the guy play for however long he's been playing now has been fun. He just went loony the last past couple of years, but you never wish an injury like that even upon a senior citizen. So you really don't want that kind of stuff to happen to him.
As Kevin put it about, I'm sure all you sports fans know at the football world that Aaron Rodgers suffer a torn Achilles, and that's his thoughts. Paul, your immediate thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it was just watching the opening moments of that game. Like, he came out the tunnel, he had the American flag. It was September 11th. It was a whole big deal. The stadium was rocking. They were ready. There's a glimpse of hope in the eyes of New York Jets fans for the first time in a really long time, and it lasted all of about a minute and a half. So.
They ended up winning the game. They won the game. Yes, you lost this guy that's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but they won the football game mainly because what I said about Josh Allen came true, that he just can't. He's a turnover machine, and he showed that last night, but. Not all hope is lost for the Jets because they still have that great defense, but you can tell there was a little air taken out of the arena when Aaron Rodgers went down. But you still won the game. Still are 1-0. There's a lot of teams right now that wish they were 1-0. So, yeah, just try to look at the bright side of it, Jets fans.
It's funny. Not funny about his injury, but I was at work, and I work during some of these football games, so I try to catch some of the highlights and everything going on right now. We had a power outage at my work, so I was kind of living through y'all text messages about his injury. Once Paul said, uh-oh, I was like, what's that uh-oh for? And then someone came to me at job saying, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. I said, stop playing. Like, no, he's hurt. And I'm like, I saw it. And I was like, yeah, that don't look good. That looked kind of Kevin Durant-ish. And
well,
just kind of.
Have we not learned anything? When somebody says they got a calf strain, don't rush them back to play anything, because then something always terribly bad has went wrong. And we were watching it at work. And as soon as he got grabbed and you saw his calf get that ripple in it, I was like, uh-oh. And the guy watching, he's like, oh, man, he hurt his ankle. I said, that shit wasn't his ankle.
Dude, yeah, that was bad, man. So, so that really happened. What happened to Kev? Kevin having some connecting issues right there, but as he put it, yeah, with Aaron Rodgers, it was just a weird injury, unfortunate for him. And like I said, I didn't watch a lot. I know Paul watched the game and Kevin watched the game, so just trying to get through that was just feel bad for the guy. He's 39 years old, and you just don't know what his future holds as far as football. But I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers don't want to be that's the last image of him. Of his career, and then just end on a sour note like that. So what's your percentage? You think he's coming back, Paul, or you think what's in the stall?
I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron Rodgers. The guy's a competitor. Like, would you want to end your career that way? I mean, I think he wants to leave on his own terms, and I don't think. I mean, as far as being with the Jets, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know what the length of that contract was, but. I would imagine that he's the kind of guy that's not going to want to go out to father time, and he's going to want to go out on his own terms. So I imagine he'll do the recovery, he'll do his whole thing, and we'll probably see him at least one more time. But I would hate to see if that was the last time we see him on a football field.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's unfortunate what happened to Aaron Rodgers, and I wish him the best in his recovery. So let's move forward and let's talk about week one. What was your overall impressions in week one? Kev, go first. What was your overall impression with week one?
Sloppy. To me, it was more sloppier this year than it's been in a while. You've had a bunch of turnovers from people that normally you don't see turn the ball over a lot. Defenses were like they normally are. They're ahead of the offenses, but some offenses were clicking on high cylinders, but it looked sloppy on a lot of ends of the ball for a lot of teams, especially a lot of teams that were considered to be those playoff contenders and top tier teams. But it is week one, so I expect week two for everything to kind of flow a little better for those teams, for guys to teams to get back people that were injured or holding out and stuff like that. So I expect week two to kind of clear up some stuff and make people look a little better.
So to add on to that, Kevin, because it was 47 total turnovers in week one. I mean, I guess let me ask you this question to follow up what you just said. I mean, as a coaching staff and just trying to manage this, because preseason is now shorter, I mean, how do you balance the whole injuries, trying to avoid injuries versus team synergy during the preseason? So, is that what's your think of your approach on that? Just as a fan spectating from that point of view,
the big thing is it's you want to make sure that you're like going from year to year to year to year. Right now, the biggest thing is keeping teams together. Like, you bring in a piece here, piece there, piece here, piece there, but you don't try to do massive overhauls on your team. You just kind of, with everything shortened the way it is, and especially with them doing less practices like they used to and everything like that, you just try to keep coaches and you're just trying to keep that continuity around. And when teams lose offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, receivers, everybody, it just kind of blows things off. So that's why you see certain teams come out of the gates really well, because they haven't really lost a lot of those pieces. They've pretty much stayed intact. It's teams that do big switches and turns around and try to add guys on and have injuries and holdouts and things like that that you see struggle. So it's just basically keeping the continuity you had from the previous year and bringing it into this year.
Yeah, good point. Paul, your overall thoughts of Week 1?
Yeah, it was a lot of sloppy football. It was pretty hard to watch a lot of those games. I mean, I was trying to, you know, have tickers going back and forth, and it was a weird Week 1. I mean, based off of some, I mean, we, you know, teams that were supposed to win either didn't win, or the games were way closer than they should have been. A lot of players that, you know, usually, you know, ball out just didn't show up. It was bad. But again, it's Week 1, so I mean, knock some rust off, but you know, we'll see what happens, and hopefully Week 2 is a lot better. But it was hard to watch a lot of those games. It was bad. Some bad football.
Yeah. Nah, I echo those statements, just seeing how sloppy it was. And, you know, some of these stars that are usually, like, top-notch and ready to go. Now, I guess from Joe Burrow's standpoint, you know, he just got thrown into Week 1. So, I mean, that's probably why he was a little rusty. But, you know, looking at somebody's performance as far as, like, synergy, handing the ball off to your centers, hiking the ball, a lot of just unforced errors. So, yeah, it was kind of really weird, man. And it's one of those that you really got decide how you going to manage this with the injuries and the cohesion and trying to figure out. But likely with NFL, you know, a lot of these things don't get determined until like a month in. We can kind of figure out, you know, who's pretty much going to make a push and who's always going to separate themselves from the pack. So still a long way to go, but nonetheless, I'm just curious to see how we go forward with this. So I know Paul don't really want to go into this next segment, so I'm gonna go to.
But Cortez, I do got a question for you. At the 16-minute mark of the podcast, do we take a moment of silence for the Denver Broncos?
How long? 16 seconds? A 16-second moment of silence?
Yes. We take a moment of silence at 16 minutes of the podcast for 16 seconds.
I guess I go first.
Yes, we'll let you go
Broncos,
first.
My Broncos. My Broncos. And I have myself on tape. And I set a number, and what happened? They get to 16 points. It's 10-16. They're up with a chance. Keep pushing. And just sloppy play. Sloppy play. And you can tell that this is a team that really is missing their deep threat in Tim Patrick. They're also missing Jerry Jeudy. Greg Dulich just went down with a hamstring injury. I mean, Russell didn't do anything spectacular, but he didn't do anything bad either. I mean, there was a couple of reads that he missed, but, you know, he didn't throw any interceptions. I mean, I guess that's a positive for a first time, but I need more from Courtland Sutton, man. I know there's a lot of pressure on him. He was hurt a few years ago. He's our only healthy receiver that's was worth something pretty much a few years ago. And, you know, to give me 4 reception with 32 yards is – while we missing Jeudy and missing, you know, Tim Patrick and KJ Hamler, who's not part of the team anymore due to all these random injuries he's got, so they end up cutting him. So it was just a bizarre way. And then I was trying to understand why we opened the game with an onside kick when we're playing Jimmy Garoppolo. I understand we're playing like someone like Pat Mahomes. Maybe you take that risk, get the ball, and try to do something like that, but Jimmy Garoppolo, are we giving that much respect to Jimmy Garoppolo and the Raiders, really? So, and then the one, and I was big on this move, I was scratching my head, why in the hell did we cut Brandon McManus? Because looking at what he did for the Jaguars, going 5-5.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
By the way, thank you. Thank you very much.
I hated that move. I know it's a kicker. I hated that move. And Will Lutz, we signed, went 1-for-3, missing the extra point. I mean, he missed a 50-yarder. And then, so, if you were to count those points, at least the extra point, we at least would have been going to overtime.
You would have got the 17.
Yeah, we would have got the 17. But I told you, the Broncos has been doing this all last year. I echo those statements on this podcast of about a couple on the first video episode that they get to a certain number and they get stuck. And I guess it don't matter to coach, but it's week one. So unfortunately, we lost to the Raiders, who I don't think is probably the worst team in the division. It may be us, but it's still between us and the Raiders. And so it's a little bit frustrating to kind of lose that game the way it did. And I just really have to take a deep breath and realize that it's week one. There's a lot of football to be played. And I just got to be patient. But Will Lutz got to give me something. And I'm really missing Brandon Manish right now, because we had him, we would have won that game. So
again, thank you.
You're welcome.
Paul, and talk about screwed up finishes. Can the Chargers charge any more than the Chargers charged in week one?
Unbelievable. That game was nuts. Tua went bonkers though, man. Tua went bonkers.
Tyreek Hill throws up 2,000 yards.
Tua throws up beach balls. Like literally beach balls. They hang for so long, but every DB and their brother cannot seem to pinpoint it, and for some reason Tyreek Hill always ends up with it. I'm like, you were in the area. Stick your hand up or turn around or do something, because the ball is literally floating to Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill's just like, thank you, I'll just keep running. And I'm like, how the hell are all these throws just making it and nobody's turning around to even look for the ball? Oh, but it is the Chargers. I watched them do it personally myself. And I'm like, oh my God, man, y'all, such a talented team, but they just do some dumb shit.
36-34, lost a close game. And for they was up at, like Kevin mentioned, they was up at one point, and Tua, and as Paul mentioned, Tyreek Hill. So just went off for an explosion. I mean, I'm trying to understand that one. So, but Paul, I'm pretty sure you're just going to pass, but you got nothing to say about it.
I don't want to lead this segment with two downers in a row. So I'll let Kevin go first. And then I'll come in after him. But go ahead, Kevin.
Hold on. I thought the people that win were supposed to go last. But that's okay. I'll go ahead and go.
I mean, if it makes you feel better, I have as many words for that game on Sunday night as they had points on the board. So I don't really have much to say.
You don't want to say nothing at all.
I mean, it was raining pretty bad. The offensive line was just a bunch of New York subway turnstiles out there. Dallas was just doing whatever they want. I have never seen a man run for their life that bad in my life. Every snap was just a scramble. There was no time to go. I mean, I knew the moment. It's funny, my power was actually out, and it came right back on after they blocked the field goal and returned for touchdown. So they were down 7-0, and my power came back on, and I just wish it stayed off.
And that shit was a good. their opening drive was great. Up until that block. As soon as that block happened, it looked like it just sucked the life right out of the Giants. And then from there on, it was like they just unleashed everything on them. It was insane.
The defense, the first couple drives for Dallas, the defense held strong. I mean, they had a couple field goals, whatever, but it's just you can only do so much when your offense can't move the ball. And that defense is not good enough to be on the field for that long. And there was zero pressure to Dak Prescott. He was doing whatever he wanted to. You know, Tony Pollard had a nice game. It was bad. And, you know, the the bright side is it can't get any worse. So I guess it's going to come out like that in week one.
And the bright side is, who do you play next?
Who is it?
I didn't even check. I had it up here. I had it up here.
The Arizona Cardinals. So
there you go. I was waiting for y'all to find out because I was going to tell you.
So there's some bright spots on the horizon, and you know, I managed to watch the whole game. I just hoped they could score, and they didn't. But it wasn't great, and I don't really know. You know, people are going to blame Daniel Jones a lot because he got the big contract, and they're going to look at him like he's a, you know, like he's a crazy person. But I mean, it wouldn't matter who your quarterback was in the situation. There was no, that offensive line did absolutely nothing, and you know, Darren Waller showed up a little bit. He made a couple nice plays, so I think the Giants are learning that they need to kind of run through him on offense. He's going to be the guy that's going to set things up and get you into shorter third downs where you can utilize Saquon Barkley. They had him in kind of going wide receiver a little bit, so they would spread him out wide, put him in motion, do some cool things with Saquon. But when you're down that much and you can't run the ball anyway, I mean, it's not a good offense to be a one-dimensional offense, and it was bad news.
And the bad part is these shabby offensive lines are going to get a lot of franchise quarterbacks killed because they're giving all these money to all these skill position things, and nobody's looking at the line to actually put money into their line to keep these guys from, like, getting just annihilated. And it's going to cost a lot of teams, like, some crazy bills when they have to pay them for all these knee injuries that their quarterbacks are going to be getting because these guys are getting hammered.
Yeah. Yeah. Kev, you want to talk about your Jags? And
never have I seen the Jaguar fan base on X or whatever you want to call it now go completely insane go in the negative terms after scoring 31 points and winning a game by 10. I'm like, y'all need to calm the hell down.
I'm like, they was complaining.
Yes. I'm like, y'all act like we've had this shit for 8 years. I'm like, enjoy. We're not the fucking Patriots from when Tom Brady was there. Enjoy that we just scored 31. Fuck, when's the last time we scored 31 points in a season opener? I'll tell you, never. I'm like, dude, y'all calm the shit down. We just had a brand new wide receiver go over 100 yards, and he almost had it in a half. You just watch your franchise quarterback throw four throws that only one other guy in the league is making, and you want to bitch about shit. I'm like, come the fuck on. I'm like, we have no reason to bitch about a God-blasted thing. I was like, be happy for once. It's real. It's happening. You've got good players, and you've got a good quarterback, and you have a good coach. Please just enjoy it for a second. Hold on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Moment of silence for the Denver Broncos.
Will you continue your story? Will you continue breaking down your team, sir? Just stop stabbing. Just saw in my room here.
All right, we're back.
But, okay, now I'm back. Okay, there we go. Yep, 16 seconds of memory of silence. I can't do a moment of silence for the Giants because it's literally, we can't. We got to keep talking. But no, I'm just like, come on, y'all. Just enjoy the shit. Be happy. Be happy that we have now because we haven't always had now. So just enjoy it. Go to the game Sunday, make as much noise as you can, and hope we come out with a W. Because if you come out with a W against Kansas City, you kind of announce the people that you're here. That is the litmus test. That was like when the Patriots come to town, you beat the Patriots, you're announcing, hey, we're here, we're going to be decent. This is your chance to announce, hey, we're here, we're going to be a force. Just come Kev, out, play well, and stop pitching.
Kev, can I say that pass, was it Zay Jones? Zay Jones, right?
Shit. Trevor yeah, that Lawrence, wasn't even my favorite pass. But yeah.
that pass was beyond crazy. I said there's no way he's in.
The best pass he threw was when Calvin Ridley was coming across the field and the two Colt players ran into each other and the ball went directly through this tiny little spot to Calvin Ridley that he caught it. That was the most that throw right there. You were going, okay, there's maybe, and he's moving, so there's maybe three guys that are going to be able to make that throw. And you're like, and that's when I looked at myself and I'm like, blessed that we have this guy on our team. Now, mind you, I went and watched this game at Boston's because usually me and Cortez, we would always go to Boston's if, especially the Jaguars were away, we go to Boston's and watch opening week. So I'm sitting at this bar and this stupid ass Cowboy fan comes and sits two down from me at the bar. The whole Jaguar game. He's just ripping the Jaguars, just going at him, going at him, going at him. And I just looked at him and said, man, are you still bitter? And he goes, bitter about what? Taking that L last year. And he goes, no, I ain't bitter about that. We actually playing somebody this week. And I said, no, you're playing the Giants. They did make the playoffs, but we don't know nothing about them yet, so don't worry about that. But didn't you last time you played us, you took the L? And he was like, Yeah. But that was last year. I said, dude, y'all been living on last year's for how many years now? I said, do you want me to ask the owner of this place to put the History Channel on for you? And he's like, why is that? I said, because that'll be the last time y'all were any good. Oof. Then he kept on, and I looked at him and said, I said, do you know what Blake Bortles and Dak Prescott have in common? And he goes, what's that? I said, nothing, because Blake Bortles has two playoff wins.
Wow.
And his buddies were just laughing. He said, you ain't got nothing to say to him? He goes, I said, no, because he don't even remember the last time Dallas won a Super Bowl.
Cold-blooded.
Well, no, on the subject of that game, though, how you two guys being Gator boys, how'd you feel about Anthony Richardson? How did he?
I think he did well. I think he played
very impressive.
I think they kept it simple, but he's got to learn one thing. He can't do that shit that he did in college, where he's going to run away from people and shit. Can't do it no more, because it's like Trevor told him after the game, dude, you did well. But you got to not take those hits. He goes, they come different. Trevor said, those hits, they come different. He goes, you're going to have to learn how to get down. But other than that, I think he played within the system and he played well. I'm not, he played like a rookie, but he'll be fine once he gets the nuances and everything down. His touch just needs to be better, because the deep ball, he'll be able to throw that. He's just got to learn to hit them crossing routes and everything that was those short range throws. But other than that, he made good decisions. But he got baited into that interception.
I mean, I personally thought he did pretty well. I even told y'all, it seemed like it was the element of surprise with the Jags. You just didn't have a lot of tape on them, but college tape. So, how do you really prepare for this guy? You know, we know he's uber talented. He's got the deep ball, and he's very physical. But you know, his reads was pretty solid for game one, and I agree. He's got to learn how to. He's gonna have that adjustment that Josh Allen's going through right now. He's still trying to, because he's bigger than a lot of people. You just can't run over these guys, play in and play out, because it takes a toll on you. These guys are bigger, faster, and stronger. So, but I'm. Listen, from afar, I'm rooting for Anthony Richardson. I know he's in Kev's division, so Kev's not rooting for him as long as he got a coach jersey on. But I'm gonna keep my tracks on him and wish him do the best. I'm always gonna root for the Gator boys, and and stay from afar and hope he does well. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see where he goes. But I was definitely encouraged more than what I thought his career would start. And I'm really to see how much he can grow during this year. So I was very happy for Anthony Richardson. So
I hope he does well and he keeps the Colts within second place range in the AFC South.
Well put.
I mean, he played better than most starting quarterbacks, and he was as a rookie. I mean, he had 223 yards passing, a touchdown, and like Kevin said, an interception. He ran for 40 yards. Now, would you like to see?
They kept it really simple, and the reason he bucked up a lot of them yards is because we couldn't stop a freaking screen pass that went 60 yards. That was the only play that pissed me off about the Jaguar defense. Would you just let that dude run right down the sideline? He didn't even juke. He just ran straight. And I'm like, ain't none of y'all going to hit him. But then they bucked up, got three turnovers. Yeah, it was a good day for the Jaguars, even though we had a lot of bitching on X, and they just motherfuckers just, we can't have nice things. And even when we do, some of these people up here act like a bunch of dumbasses, and then you got to call them out and calm them down. And I'm like, just get the fuck off Twitter during fucking football games, please.
Hey, for sure. All right, guys, week one. Who was the most disappointing team?
Get the fuck off.
Yeah, just get off X. The social
just
media.
Get off X.
Not the drug.
Exactly. Sorry. Not next triple topic. X.
Yeah, that too. Who was the most disappointing team this week? I think we all might agree, but let's start with you, Paul. Who's the most disappointing team this week?
I mean, I'm gonna just say Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Like you don't realize how important Travis Kelce is to an offense, and I mean, it was like there was no one to make a play for that football team. For as explosive as they can be, it was completely insane to just not have a single guy be able to catch a ball or have a big play when it was third and six, third and eight. They didn't know where to go. They had no one to go to. I mean, the backup tight end that replaced Kelce, he showed up a little bit, but those wide receivers, man, like as good as Patrick Mahomes is. Like I think that's the thing you realize is Travis Kelce is a real like just you know real scapegoat for that guy sometimes, and because he could always get open. They've been playing for so long together. I don't even know if that guy runs routes. Just like playing backyard football.
No.
Mahomes knows where he's gonna be, where he's gonna go, and you know, I was completely blown away at that offense for as many points as they can put up and as many yards as Mahomes can throw. That you just literally take a guy like Kelce away, and that offense was just completely non-existent. You know, Kadarius Toney. Wow, that guy.
Stone hands.
And that guy had the audacity to comment on the Giants game Sunday night too, which is pretty funny. But he deleted his Instagram after the Chiefs game, and then reactivated it, and he was posting pictures of the Giants score in his Instagram stories. But I mean, it is what it is. Because if he played on the Giants, they still would have scored zero. So, I mean, he's not like he's that big of a deal. But for me,
he should focus on catching things. Instead
guy couldn't
of
catch, yeah. guy couldn't catch, that guy couldn't catch COVID.
he should try to catch a post instead of making one.
Exactly. But, yeah, no, exactly. That's it for me. That's who it is for me. So I'll let one of y'all guys go.
Yeah. Who's the most disappointing team for you in week one?
The Buffalo Bills. They disappoint they like I said, Buffalo takes three steps forward and then takes 100 back. And then if Josh Allen reverts back to this kind of Josh Allen, they're in for a long year. Because once he gets those turnovers going, and we saw it when he got them going before, they just pile up. And they don't stop, they don't stop, they don't stop, they don't stop. So he needs to stop the bleeding here come this week, or there's going to be some trouble in Buffalo. But they disappointed the heck out of me, especially after you've seen Rodgers go down. Like, as soon as you seen Rodgers go down, you should have started stepping on their throat. And instead of stepping on their throat, you gave them a bunch of just turnovers. Like, you were Oprah. You were like, you get an interception. Well, he only gave it to one person. He's like, you get an interception. And I'm going to give you another one. And then I'm going to give that guy another one. And then I'm going to give you a fumble. But, man, it was just, I was disappointed. I'm like, dang, y'all couldn't even beat him after he was gone? Come on, y'all. Y'all got to do better than that.
I echo those statements, Kev. It's got to be the Buffalo Bills for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. And before the season, we were putting them up there as Super Bowl contenders. And to come out like that after emotions are running high, it's 9-11, Aaron Rodgers' first games, after four plays, he go down. We know to find out it was just an Achilles injury. And you come out and lay the dud like that, throwing balls in places that you're going is. You're diving for a first down that's 4 yards short. Like, I mean, just some of the boneheaded IQ plays that he was doing. I want to say Buffalo Bills, but this is all on Josh Allen, man. Like, Josh Allen needs to be called out. And this is something that is plaguing him. And I know Paul mentioned earlier on one of the other podcasts is that, you know, it seemed like him and Stephon Diggs are cool. Well, those two was get on the sidelines again. And, I mean, I know it's in the competitive nature. They're all competitive, especially Stephon Diggs. He wants to win. And I don't know if he's just trying to force the Stephon Diggs because now we're having a whole Keyshawn Johnson moment where we have just give me the damn ball. And I don't know if that was Stephon Diggs in his ear. You spread the offense. You got talented skill players. You got some talented backs in the field that can catch the ball. And just slow it down. But I was so disappointed, and I know the Jets defense are for real. They are for real. Like, they have been for real before Josh gifted them any gifts as far as turnovers and fumbles and interceptions and everything like that. But it was just incredibly disappointing for a team like that that is so close to just getting back to the Super Bowl and getting there, and then you just shoot yourself in the foot. This is a game, like Kevin mentioned, this is a game that air out of that stadium was just gone after Aaron Rodgers' game now. And Zach Wilson came in and beat you again, so as he did last year. And this is a divisional game, too, so these games matter more. This is a game that you really needed. And for you to drop that game and the circumstances and everything that just happened, you got to put, Kevin said it's right, you got to put your foot in your throat. So it was just disappointing to see them play a dud at a game like that. So,
but yeah, I'm good with it, though. You know, keep doing it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure any AFC contenders, and I'm pretty sure you're pretty excited about that. All right, I'm going to start doing
the
segment.
I'm good with the way the first week went.
I'm sure you are. All right, I like to do this segment every week. We're going to start this BIOC, Balls Not Court podcast, Player of the Week. Who's invited to the cookout? I want y'all to pick y'all one top player who impressed you this week. Kev, you do the honors. Who's invited to the cookout? I know you like to cut some brisket and some ribs and get the smoker going. Who's going to get a plate from you, man?
Oh, I'm bringing my boy with me. Calvin Ridley is coming to the house. For a guy that's been away from the game for almost 2 years and to come out and have 100 yards in his debut with a team and a touchdown, yeah, he's coming to the cookout.
Gotcha. Paul, who's invited to the barbecue? What you cooking for him, man?
I'm going to choose a guy who had a lot of eyes on him last week. And it's going to be Jordan Love from the Green Bay Packers.
No.
Man threw for 245 and 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. He came in and he's invited to the cookout. He can date my sister. He can do whatever he wants. I don't care. Like that guy came out and he showed what was going on, and he might be the real deal after Aaron Rodgers leaves. Like, it's so, you know, there was a lot of questions on him. He hasn't played a lot of snaps, and the little bit of time he has played, it's been iffy of like, oh, does this guy have it? Is he the future of the franchise? And I know it was against the Bears, and I know there was some things going on there, but to go out and put up a performance like that and not turn the ball over when there was a lot, like I said, there was 47 total turnovers last week, to not be a guy making any of those and essentially your first big start of your career, just, you know, kudos to that guy.
Gotcha. All right, so who's buying my cookout? I'm going to make sure I have a baked potato for you on the grill, get you a steak. I know you probably like a medium well. Make sure I throw some Bubba Burgers on there for you. My dog, Christian McCaffrey, step up, man. You had 152 yards on 22 carries, one touchdown, three receptions, was all over the field. And actually, you can actually bring your homie, Brandon Ayuk, as well, too, because he showed up, too. And
you can bring all of San Francisco.
Just bring all of them, yeah.
Bring them up there, because
they whooped that ass.
Yeah, that's a good Steelers team that we pretty much discussed, thought that they young and upcoming Steelers teams, but they got their butts handed to them. And so I just want to show those guys some love.
Just say it right. San Francisco beat their ass. Like, just continue to just stomp and kick and hit and did whatever to them. They beat their ass.
Gotcha. All right. Well, who was our top five teams after week one, Kev? I already know one. Your team's going to be in there. So go ahead and give me your top five.
One is going to be San Fran because they beat that ass. Two is going to have to be Dallas because they beat that ass.
Sorry, Paul.
Three. I'm going to put the Jaguars. I'm going to put the Jaguars up there at three. Four, I'm going to put Miami. Four, I'm going to put Miami because they just looked really good. And then five, I'll put the Chiefs because they get back all their weapons. Then we'll see what's going to go on.
Yeah, they get Chris Jones back after one game, huh? They said, enough. Chris Jones coming back.
Yeah, but the thing is, how well is he going to play after being off and – you know he's going to be limited coming into the game. So I ain't too much worried about that because we get the ball off in 3.2 seconds and then he's going to be winded trying to chase Trevor around. So I'm fine with it. Bring them all.
Hope Chris Jones knows how to catch because they might need him on offense too.
Yeah. Bring them all.
There it is. Paul, who's your top five?
Number one, clearly San Francisco. Number two, I'll put Miami at two. Okay. There was a lot of bad football. Jeez.
Brutal.
I'll put Philly. No, I'll put Baltimore at three.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams at four.
Okay.
And I'll throw Dallas in there at five because that was a really impressive display by that team. I'm you know, hats off to Dallas, but that's what I'll go with.
Gotcha. Good selection, gentlemen. All right, let's go and review our week one picks.
What about you, pal? Who are your top five?
Oh, we're running short on time, but I can go ahead and do mine right quick. My top five.
We're never running short on time. You just keep going. Go.
All right, so number one is definitely San Fran. San Fran was very impressive in their victory. Beat an up-and-coming young Steelers team. Two, I'm going – Kevin's going to be having one here. I'm going to Jags. Jags.
Yeah, look at that.
On the road. Came on the road. They got a tough test coming up this week, so I'm eager to see how they're going to answer the bell here. Be a rematch. They played in the playoff, before the AFC Championship, right?
Yeah, the divisional round.
Okay.
Yeah.
For sure. Number three is Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys came out and just was defensively controlled that side of the ball and put a lot of pressure on that offensive line and really kind of rattled Daniel Jones. So I think they really did a good job with there. Number four is the Detroit Lions. Very impressed with them to go on the road and squeak out a win. Arrowhead is a tough place to win, so I want to give them a shout-out to that. And for them to get a win and start off the right season, I think Detroit's heading in the right place and be on their way to win that division. And then number five is the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins squeaked out Tua and Tyreek Hill and that explosive offense. Listen, I mean, I know it was a close game, but those two teams are pretty good, and the AFC is going to be pretty much upper class, so we'll expect that game to be close and back and forth. As Kevin mentioned earlier, they blew it. The Chargers did, but Dolphins took advantage of the opportunity and went ahead and took that. So that'll be my top five. So to review our picks, Paul wanted me to tally them up, and I did tally them up. So for week one, I was 9 out of 16, and Kevin was 9 out of 16, and Paul was 10 out of 16. So Paul is our week one winner for our picks. So congratulations, Paul. So like I said, these games, week one, as we all mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, was just kind of fluky and weird. But for the most part, this is why you play the game, as Herm Edwards say. That's why you play the game, because you just never know what happens, and expect the unexpected. So congrats to Paul, and now let's get into
what we are telling you people is don't listen to a fucking thing we say when we're picking these fucking games.
it's all a crapshoot, so but hey, it's all fun and games. So we would like to hear you guys with your picks as well. So make sure you put them in the comments on the YouTube channel, and it'd be fun to see where we can get where we're at.
Hey, 9-7, 9-7, still a playoff record, boys.
Yeah, that's very, very solid. So now we're finna move on to week. Yeah, so very good. So now we're finna move on to week two and do our picks there. So week two, we got 8:15 prime on Thursday. The Vikings at the Eagles. 0-1 Vikings at the 1-0 Eagles. Paul, go first. Who you think gonna win this game?
Vikings stink.
I tried telling you guys that, but y'all was like,
Jesus. I mean, kudos.
You didn't try telling us guys that. Yeah, no, hold on.
No, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
I'm pretty sure he did.
I did. Yes, I did.
Mean, kudos to Justin Jefferson. He showed up to play football. But I'm gonna take Philadelphia.
Okay. Kev?
this shit's on prime time. We know who not to take. I'm taking Philly.
Clean sweep. Philly beat the Vikings. Watch the Vikings somehow win this game. Watch. All right, on to Sunday.
It's a primetime game. It ain't happening.
Yeah, but listen, the Eagles won. Those teams that came out kind of slow, but hey.
They'll be fine. The Vikings had Baker Mayfield looking like Joe Montana.
Telling the dude, you too small. Yeah, I hear you. All right, I slay the one.
Telling you too. That's fucked up.
Ugh, beautiful. All right, Sunday games, 1:00. Packers at Falcons. Who you got?
I'll take Green Bay.
Kev?
Me too. Green Bay.
Green Bay. Green Bay, clean sweep across the board. So, Raiders at the Bills. Bills at home. Who we got?
I'll take the Raiders in an upset. I'll be different.
All hell break loose. That happens. Bills a panic.
I'll take this in a bounce back.
I got the Bills coming back too. So yeah, Bills to bounce back. Ravens at the Bengals. Ooh, buddy.
At Bengals.
Yep, yeah, it's in Cincinnati.
I'll take Baltimore.
Kev?
I'll take Cincinnati.
I'm going to Baltimore Ravens. Bengals start 0-2 this year. Seahawks at the Lions.
Detroit.
Paul?
I think Detroit's going to keep it moving. I really like how they played against Kansas City. They got a lot of momentum. I'm going to ride the Detroit Lions in that one.
Kev?
I'll take Lions.
I got Lions as well. The Colts at the Texans. This is being at Houston, so who?
Oh, fucking get hell! This one? Jesus Christ! Oh God!
Oh brother!
Hey, rookie versus rookie, Christ. Huh?
God. I'll take the Colts just because their defensive line is better.
Yeah, I'll take the Colts as well. Did you guys see that play where the dude had a sack, a forced fumble? Dude picked it up, knocked it out of the dude's hand, picked it up, and then ran for a touchdown. He had a forced fumble, fumble recovery. Hey,
we don't want to talk about how Tank Bigsby didn't. We don't want to talk about how Tank Bigsby just did not fall down when he grabbed the ball.
Oh, what a play! I'll take Indianapolis.
Did you hear what they said? The guy said after. He goes, I just hit the ball out of his hands just to be an asshole.
Yeah.
I thought the play was over already.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Play to the whistle.
Wow. Yep.
No, he said he thought the play was over. The guy that knocked the ball loose.
Oh, boy.
Jesus. Oh, I'm going to go with the Texans. I think the Texans probably get upset. They're at home. I'm going to pick them to win. It'll be a sloppy game. I feel like the Colts will figure Texans. I'm not dissecting this anymore. 1 o'clock game. Chiefs and Jaguars.
He went.
Do we know?
He went.
Do we know?
He went
Kelsey's
around
playing?
His ass to get through his helmet.
Kelsey's supposed to be playing. I heard he was. He's supposed to play.
Well, I'm taking Jacksonville.
Me too. You know who I'm taking.
For the love of God. Homer. For the love of God.
Damn right.
Because all the Chiefs that I can't stand the Chiefs, I am picking the Jaguars to make a statement in week two. They're gonna make a statement. So statement. Go Jags. Go Jags. Ooh, here's a fun game. 1 o'clock, Bears at Buccaneers. Ooh.
Oh, Jesus Christ. God almighty.
I knew he was going to say that. Kev.
The one thing I will say about Tampa Bay, though, is their defense, although they're old, they still play good. So mm-hmm. I'm going to take Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah, Tampa's got more weapons on offense, especially, so I'll take Tampa.
Mike Payme Evans will have a big game at home, and they will beat the Bears. So, I agree. The Chargers at the Titans.
Oh, Jesus.
Chargers get this game.
Yeah, Chargers, go Chargers. Go Chargers.
Yeah, that's San Diego Superchargers.
Because we know what I always say.
What you say?
Fuck the Titans.
There it is.
I want you to say it. I just lobbed it up. Like Dwayne Wade to LeBron, just lopped it up. So
no, you don't. He said it. Damn it!
Oh,
we're gonna make it out of another show. God darn it!
Sorry. Okay, no more saying his name. Next game. Damn. This is one starting at 4 o'clock games. The Giants at the Cardinals.
Giants bounce back.
Giants better fucking win, or you'll never hear the end of it.
Giants have bounced back. 49ers at the Rams. Both teams are 1-0.
Niners are just better.
Yeah, Niners check all the boxes. Kevin mentioned earlier. They're just a team, cohesive. They got a lot of the same guys playing together. They're just too good. So 49ers.
All right. Jets at the Cowboys. It's a 4:25 game, 4:25 p.m. game. Cowboys.
Two really good defenses going at it.
Yeah.
Two really good. I'm going to take the Jets.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Mm. I'm going to Cowboys.
I'll take Dallas, just because I don't trust Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Commanders at Broncos. Commander's going to win.
Good. It didn't even take him 16 seconds to make that pick.
I'm doing reverse. Until they show me something, Commanders will win the game. And I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong.
Nah, dude.
I want to be wrong.
I got the Broncos.
I'll go with the Commanders.
Kevin, I hope you're right. Damn. I see how quick I picked that game. I have no faith right now. I just, God, yeah.
he said it like they had a bye week. He just like, yeah, come on.
Jesus. He's like, fuck this shit. Come on.
All right. 8:20 nighttime game. Dolphins at the Patriots.
Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Dolphins.
These games have been weird the last few years, haven't they? I got the passing upset.
The Dolphins go up to New England, they lose. Patriots come down here to Miami. No matter how good the Patriots were, they came to Miami and they always lost. So yep. I'm just thinking it's gonna be reversed this year.
It's weird. I'm picking the passing upset. Oh, we got two Monday football games. First one, it's the Saints at the Panthers.
Jesus. Both. God.
That's a Monday night game?
Oof. They were desperate.
For what? Want to see Derek Carr and Bryce Young play on Monday?
For a hug. Well, you can't see Bryce Young once the offensive line stands up. So, I'll take.
Ouch.
I'll take the Saints.
Yeah, they were my pick to win the division, so I'm gonna keep riding with the Saints.
They will beat the Panthers probably in the blowout. So yeah, Browns at the Steelers. Are they playing two hand touch, Kev?
Oh, good God, man! They're tugging away. Don't let it slip though, because Deshaun will get away from you. I'm picking the Browns.
I'm gonna take Cleveland as well.
Steelers will bounce back. Steelers get this win. They're at home. That'll make it tough for them. So I'm going to Steelers. Either my record gonna be really bad next week, or it's gonna be really good. So. I was definitely all over the place with those picks. So, all right, guys. Well, that should do it for us. Anything you'd like to add for today's podcast? I know we had started. Thanks for bearing with us with the technical difficulties that we had. So,
I just want everybody to play better. Let's just play better. We're professionals. Let's play better.
Yes.
Like better please. Football, please. Nice.
Just
nice,
have a
clean football.
Just have a fun week too. College this weekend's got a few good games. We got a few rivalry games going on in week whatever. What week are we in with fucking college? Three now?
Three? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Or three and a half because they have that 0 week shit that week they zero. Do. Yeah, so, but whatever. But we got a few good games coming on this week. Alabama getting upset by Texas. That was pretty big. Yeah. That was pretty big last weekend. So Texas is like, oh, yeah, we're coming in the SEC. Okie dokie. Well, that's one way to do it. The year before you're coming in to beat Alabama, that's a way to do it. But, yeah, there should be some pretty good games on Saturday. So looking forward to watching. You got Florida and Tennessee, which is always one of those games that just pisses me off.
Emotional games, yep.
And we all know that the toothbrush was invented in Tennessee, because if it was invented anywhere else, it would be called the teeth brush.
Gotcha. I just want to, before we close out too, I want to give a shout out to Franz Wagner and Team Germany for winning gold. Congratulations.
You non-American ass fucking rooting for Germany and all the rest of these fucking teams instead of your USA. God darn
team
it.
But hey, to Team USA, they're similar to Avengers. LeBron done called the troops. I said his name again. I'm sorry. Hey, it even came out that Chris Paul wants to play, but hey, I want Kim Kardashian. That's not going to happen, so.
No, we don't need a bunch of old people that we might get scared they're going to rupture their fucking Achilles. Oh, damn, I said that too soon.
God.
Those wounds are so
Aaron Rodgers, get better. Get better.
Yes. Get better. We want to see you come back for the 2024 year. We just don't want to hear much about it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, guys, make sure y'all stay tuned for definitely on Tuesdays. Me, Kevin, and Paul will be at it again. So you can follow the podcast page on X at BIOC Podcast. You can follow me at @endofmindcp. Kev, give me your at name.
KevinC2415.
Mr. Mac.
_Paul_Mac.
Awesome. Underscore. You can also go to our Instagram, go to @BIOC Podcast. You can go to our Facebook, which is Balls Not Court Podcast. You also go to our YouTube page, which is also BIOC Podcast. Our Anchor, which is now Spotify Podcasters. You can go to anchor.fm. -Cortez-Paul. You can get all that on Anchor, and you get that on Spotify. Spotify even got us uploading video podcasts now, so you also get the video podcast on there as well. So, shout out to them. So that's pretty cool. And
I feel like Joe Rogan
know about that. Yeah, absolutely. So we're definitely on Spotify. So once again, guys, thanks for bearing with us. Want to thank you for listening, tuning in.
Real fast. Yes.
Go ahead.
On your X thing, why don't you put @IntheMindOfCP16?
I am done with this guy. Guys, have a nice night. I'm sick of these 16 jokes. He's probably gonna give me a custom jersey with 16 on it. Screw you, Kev. Love my brother. Bye. Yeah. I love you guys.
Now that you mention it, I can't get you a Trevor jersey.
Oh, I am done. I'm going to get my Tito's and club soda. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Balls Not Court Podcast.
He's going to have 16 of them.
Speaking for Paul, Matt, and Kevin Cardis, Cortez, Paul.
Good thing 7 and 7 is an equal 16.
Oh, you my God.
Many,
I'm
you
done.
You know how many calories his usual drinks have? 16.
Let's go.
Good night, guys.